Facts 32, everyone, reunited. Mike and Eric back together again.
Back, in the words of AC/DC, back in black!
Why in black?
You have a black shirt.
Yeah, I do, but you don't. Well, we're back. There was a long period we were fighting. I think everyone was aware of that. It kind of tore facts apart. Yeah. People sided with me. Some people sided with Mike for some reason. Yeah. We both had a succession of guest co-hosts.
Yeah.
But when it came right down to it, what Mike lacks in facts, what he lacks in integrity, he brings up for in dedication, in perseverance, and in bringing me food. Let's talk about the food you brought me today, Mike. This is fantastic.
Yeah, well, this is the best bread in quite some time. We missed out on each other's birthdays.
I mean, that's not important. I don't really care about my birthday. It's kind of dumb, I think.
They're special days. It's a celebration of you.
I think it's a dumb thing for an adult to care about.
Not me.
If you're a child or if you're over 100, I think, then
well, that's why
cool.
I got these dinners to celebrate you.
Thank you.
And me.
And both of us, yes.
And us. I got us, well, they were supposed to be BLTs with double bacon, but instead they look like country club sandwiches, don't they?
Yeah, what's this? This additional meat is neither.
It's like double turkey instead.
It's turkey. It's
bacon.
Not a B and L or a T. No. It's good though. It's a good sandwich.
It's a country club sandwich, is what it is. But it's good. And
it's
also
bacon, lettuce, tomato, and turkey. And it's a BLT.
Yeah, and we got the grilled cheese sandwiches. With actually, they're stuffed with mozzarella cheese sticks. It's called a grilled cheese melt.
You know, I have had these before, now that I see them.
Oh, they're great. They're supposed to have marinara dipping sauce with it. It's a lot better, but they're good like they are.
Yeah, yeah. The marinara is nice.
The chips, these fries are like chips from Long John Silver, or Arthur Treacher's.
Yeah, yeah. They're good fries.
Oh, they're great. And onion rings with root beer.
A&W root beer is quite the spread from Denny's, right?
Yep.
Shout out to Denny's. It'd be great if we get a sponsorship thing and you didn't have to buy all this food.
Yep.
But you did. You bought all the food.
Well, we got sponsors coming. I know we do. And here's another thing I wanted to say.
I don't believe you about the
sponsors. Like how you said I lack certain things. I make up for them. Well, you lack some things too, but you make up for them by being so smart.
What do I lack? I don't think I lack anything. I'm stretching my brain right now to
maybe
think of something.
Maybe sometimes kindness.
I'm a nice guy. I brought that pregnant fucking cat in.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do that. Granted, I didn't know she was pregnant.
Sometimes you lack positivity. You're negative a lot.
You know, I guess I have a cynical worldview, Mike. But
the bright side of things always.
I think that comes with experience. It comes with intelligence.
It does.
You say negative or cynical. I say realistic.
Well, I said, you know, I got to work on myself here. I'm done. I'm that dedicated to where I'm trying my best now.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to what you're bringing to the table.
Oh, yeah, facts are, that's one thing. But here's another thing. I'm off the OTC stuff. Over-the-counter medicine.
Oh, yeah. You were popping pills for a while.
I'm done.
You were just every now and then throw a handful of pills in your mouth.
Yeah,
during the show.
Tylenol, Advil, ibuprofen, Aleve, whatever. You know, it's just like, give me some.
Yeah, they were just like low-grade over-the-counter pain medication, but you were taking more than you needed to.
Well, not real. I took it prescribed.
Oh, okay. Prescribed, okay.
But still, still messed with my head, man. And I'm done taking those pills.
Yeah, you got what are those? Well, you now have a baggie full of
now
pills. What are those?
I will be taking vitamins.
Okay, well there we go. That's good for you.
You know,
that is a very large Ziploc bag for what appears to be only four pills.
Yeah,
I mean that's like a freezer bag.
I know, but I didn't have anything else to put.
Okay,
I take these which I need to talk to your dad about. I think he should take them. They're for your joints. Osteobioflex?
Yes, yeah, he has joint problems. Well, that's from being a mailman for so long. That's your future.
But still, these are amazing.
You know you had knee surgery, right?
I didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to talk to him and tell him these are like, I've done research of people swear by it in a matter of a week or two.
Yeah.
I'm faster and lighter than ever out there.
Mm.
I take those. They're good for joints. Also a zinc. You know what zinc's good for.
I don't. Tell me what zinc is good for.
Zinc's really potent. It's powerful. It's the strongest natural aphrodisiac.
Oh, it's for fucking.
That's why raw oysters. And people are like, oh, oysters are aphrodisiac. You know why? They have the highest concentration of zinc.
I didn't know that. What if I eat pennies? There's all the zinc in pennies.
Oh, don't do that. There's other metals in there.
That okay. Sick.
But, also,
an interesting fact about pennies is the raw zinc in a penny is actually worth more than a cent. So if you melted down a penny.
I didn't know that because of the copper, actually. Copper in a penny.
No, it's there's more zinc than copper in a penny now.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the old ones.
Not the old ones. No, I'm saying they change what you know, is in coins over time.
And zinc is actually, it ain't cheap.
It's not.
We used to have to make that at the steel mill. They called it the zinc pot for galvanizing steel.
Mm-hmm.
They'd run it through like an acid dip first, and then it would go through a flux wash. Then it goes through, this is the strip, you know, after the coil's rolled.
Yeah, yeah.
And it runs through the line. Then it gets like a zinc and a aluminum dip. Dude, it's like a huge melting pot, like something you'd see out of...
A melting pot like America?
Like Lord of the Rings.
Okay, like when they made the rings in the beginning.
Exactly. It's this huge, just giant, and the strip goes down in it. You got to wear all this. They want you to take samples, man. You got to wear all these safety shit. Mm. And then you got to get tested. Well, that was a turn line. I'm sorry for a lead poisoning, but it was the same concept.
That is the most interesting thing you've ever said on the show.
Told you I'm working on
it. I like this new direction.
I'm done with the pills. I'm doing all that stuff.
My music today was Reunited by Peaches and Herb.
That was a nice song.
It's a great song. It was written by Dino Vaccaris and Freddie Perren. It was from the 1978 album Too Hot. Also from that album, Shake Your Groove Thing. Also written by Freddie Perren. Freddie Perren, by the way, also wrote I Will Survive for Gloria Gaynor. Reunited was number one on both the R&B and the Billboard Top 100 charts for 4 weeks in 1979. No emails this week. I figured we'd get something after last week. I think no one's listening anymore.
Oh, no.
I think that when we had our argument, it kind of drove people into two sides. They were very passionate. Fuck Mike. They were more anti-Mike and Eric than they were pro either of us, I felt. And I think once we got to back together, they both felt betrayed, and now no one is listening. Is, I think, what happened.
I disagree. I think they said what they had to say, and they're just waiting.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's like, they're almost stunned. Like, I can't believe they're back. Like, what's going to happen now?
Well...
And they're left in shock and awe.
It would have been nice to get some corrections, because we have several. Mostly things you said.
Really? Already? Because I thought this was going to be correction-free, this episode, because I thought everything what happened last week was perfect. Okay.
No, Mike. A few corrections to get to. I used the word effeminate. That is not a word.
I thought it is.
Well,
effeminate.
Effeminate is a word. It means the definition of effeminate is as a man having or showing characteristics regarded as typical of a woman.
Yeah.
Unmanly. However, I didn't even use it in that context. I said effeminate when I meant to say just feminine. So I fucked up.
It's all right.
Mike said that the Mona Lisa is a portrait of Leonardo da Vinci as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
The Mona Lisa, the woman depicted in that photograph, is Lisa Gherardini, the wife of Florentine silk merchant Francisco del Giocondo, who commissioned the painting. All art historians, or most, I should say, agree that that is the woman pictured in the Mona Lisa. Mike also referenced a Salvador Dali painting where he drew a dick and then put a picture of a titty in the dick.
Oh, I just said, you know, that's something he would do.
Okay, yeah. Well, I thought that was specific.
No.
Well, I that painting doesn't exist. I couldn't find any reference to that.
Do you know how many paintings he had, though?
I'm saying if you would think something...
I bet he has done that.
Something as specific as a titty and a dick, I think someone I would have been able to find with a Google search. And I didn't. I said Mike
worked... I went to the Dolly Museum in Florida.
Yeah? How was that? Why is it in Florida? Wasn't he Spanish?
I think it's in Tampa, too. Yeah. That's where he lived, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a good time?
Oh, man. He did a few paintings. They have him hanging up. I forgot. The guy talked about it, how he did it, but... We're talking there like 30 feet tall, 30 feet wide. They have him like hanging up on these things. Like,
it's a big ass painting.
Yeah. I mean, he wanted to do something grand.
Imagine he had a scaffold.
Yeah, there's a couple of them, I think, but they only, they rotate them how they do stuff at museums.
That's how Da Vinci did the Sistine Chapel.
Speaking of something you might want to check out,
Michelangelo. Shit, I'm sorry. Michelangelo did the Sistine Chapel, not Da Vinci.
Right. That was Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Something you might want to check out, the Butler Museum of Art in Howland.
Yeah, the Butler is the local art museum. For people who are from Australia who are listening, I need to explain. Okay,
it's a museum. It's at the one in Howland right now. It's all pinball machines.
Oh, no shit, like old pinball machines?
I
love old
there.
Pinball machines.
I delivered there.
That's fantastic.
Dude, there are some that were like just... So Rick, like, they look like wood. Somebody made them from hand.
Yeah.
You look at the thing, I'm like, what? You know, and the guy's like,
I love
come
old
on in and
machines.
Check them out. And I'm like, I'm working. I can't. I just walked in and dropped the mail off, you know, but I want to go back.
Yeah, I love that. They used to have some really cool old ones at the Elm Road drive-in, but they sold them a few summers ago. But they were old ones,
and
man.
You could play on them?
Yeah, they still worked. Every now and then you'd lose...
Why was that funny?
Mike just hit the end of his food bowl and his sandwich went flying through the air. Sandwich, onion rings, fries going everywhere. And then he leaned over to pick it up, but he almost dropped his root beer when he leaned on the table. Did you get all that?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's fine. Oh, that was beautiful. I said Mike worked as an alchemist. He was a metallurgist, as he was just describing. Obviously, I know that alchemy isn't real. It was a slip of the tongue. I'm not sure what I was trying to say.
I never heard you say that.
I said it.
Did you really say something that weird?
I said I think I must have meant metallurgist, but I didn't know the word for it. And alchemist is what came out. I know that alchemy is not a real thing. I know you can't transmute base metals into gold, so... That was just a slip of the tongue.
I thought alchemy also had something to do with...
Like the Philosopher's Stone and stuff?
Yeah, something to do with, like, spirits.
Maybe. I think they used to think that you could take metals and make precious metals out of them. Or
what are your thoughts on the people that we had on the show? I'll tell you what.
Fuck Dave, that two-faced cunt. I'll say that.
Dave... He really backstabbed me.
Yeah,
really,
and me as well.
He took me when I was weak as fuck.
Mm.
And really just played me.
It was like if a girl just goes through a breakup and she's all emotionally vulnerable and you want to tap that. That's what he did to you. He tapped that.
I know he did. Yeah. And he lied by saying, oh, Eric is, you know, I don't agree with Eric. I hate corrections. And then with you, he said corrections are so important.
Yeah.
I was...
No, I think we could both agree, fucked up.
When I listened to that, I was fucked up.
I think, fucked up emotionally or fucked up on the over-the-counter pain meds that you're not taking anymore?
Everything.
Okay.
I was a wreck, but...
Well, fuck Dave.
I don't
Shane,
talk about it.
Shane.
What about Shane?
Shane was okay.
He was good, I thought.
Yeah. He was good. It was better than you.
No.
I think he did better than you. It was just kind of like you... But different. And I was going for not Mike. So that's why Shane didn't work out. Joe, I thought, did great.
I was really scared. Like, you know, that's why I... Jimmy your door open and came up here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I thought I had just left it unlocked, but it's nice to know that you broke and entered.
I will buy you a new lock, by the way.
It's fine.
Well,
it worked out for the best.
I heard he was going to be on.
Joe did very well.
20 minutes before, Andy's like, I'm doing facts. And yeah. I'm like, fuck that.
God, I wish he had
no, he's
anything,
not.
But
And I got here as fast as I can. I went, picked up food. I'm like, this is my chance. This is my chance. Do you want that sandwich?
Joe did well. If you don't gonna, you're not gonna eat the sandwich. Why? Because it fell on the ground?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair, I guess. I mean, it's not entirely clean in here.
Well, you let cats in here. I'm allergic to cats.
But yeah, you're allergic to cats, but I'm saying you can... I'm not going to complain because I just got a free grilled cheese sandwich, so...
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Joe did well. We might have Joe back. I like the idea of having guests in here, having someone else mix it up a little.
Yeah, sure.
Throw in some third facts.
I do.
I like
mixing it up.
I think AJ Georgie would be good. He knows a lot of stuff.
I do.
And I haven't asked him yet. He's a great artist. But maybe we can get him in.
Yeah, sure.
So that's corrections to something that Joe said. What about
Tim? I think Tim would
be. Tim Wolf would be fine. We can get like different people in here. There's no reason not to switch it up.
AJ would really, really.
He knows a lot of stuff. He's always telling me stuff he knows.
I know. But if he tries to take my job, then...
Mike, your job is fine. All right. No one, you have to worry about anyone...
Speaking of that...
...taking Mike's... I'm not done with corrections yet.
Okay, but let's just hurry up and sign and print.
If you what is this?
Sign on that line and then print under it, that's fine.
Okay, Michael's just handed me a piece of paper. I don't know how legally binding this is, by the way.
My lawyer... look at it. He said it's...
I, Eric Cribbley, do hereby promise to do at least 5 more episodes of Facts. If I quit before then, I owe Michael Stephen Kalenitz the amount of $100,000 payable by 2020.
Okay.
And then there's fine print.
Oh, you just don't read that. That's the legality print, stuff. It's that's written just in a lawyer much stuff.
Smaller font. It says, I also swear allegiance to Michael as my best friend forever and will never fire him again or quit the show again and keep the show going on forever. I agree to all the terms above. Sign and print. I'm not going to sign this, but I see that. It's nice that you took the time to draw it up.
Would you?
It shows dedication to the program.
Would you initial?
I'm not going to sign it, no.
Okay.
Even though I'm certain that is not legally binding in any way, I am not going to sign it. I'll tell you what, as a fail-safe.
I'm going to hang on to this, and if you come around...
Okay, I'm not going to. You can throw it up and put it in the garbage, if you would be the best thing to do with that.
Oh, no. I'll hang on to it, because you never know.
Did the post office give you that folder?
Yeah, this is a folder I got during orientation.
Okay. That's nice.
Thanks.
Got a mailbag on it. It says National Association of Letter Carriers.
Yeah.
You in the union then?
Does
it take some time?
Yeah, it probably takes time. I'm just so busy learning right now, you know. I just want to be the best I can. And there's a lot to learn, Eric. You got to study, actually, because like there's so much you got to know. I'm not kidding. You really do it
first. No, I believe you. I want people to learn, too. That's why I want to continue with the show, do the corrections and the clarifications, and then get to the facts. So.
All right.
All right, this is a correction of something Joe said. Joe was talking about the Philadelphia-Pittsburgh Steagles. The 1943 NFL season.
Yeah, he made that up.
Yeah, nuts. No, that's a true thing. Mm-hmm. What he was incorrect about was he said that he mentioned the Boston Yanks also playing in that season. That was a team from 1944 to 1948. They did not start until the season after the Steagles. The Boston Yanks merged with the Brooklyn Tigers for the 1945 season, where they were known as just the Yanks. They had no city. They played 4 home games in Boston and 1 in New York. In 1949, they became the New York Bulldogs. And then from 50 to 51, they became the New York Yanks. In 1952, they moved to Dallas, became the Dallas Texans. At which point the operation folded. What remained of the team went to the new Baltimore Colts franchise. The Colts, however, are considered an expansion team, and neither the NFL nor the Colts recognize the lineage of the Yanks/Bulldogs/Texans. So that was the end of the Boston Yanks.
Yeah, I don't. You know, thinking about him,
I think Joe speculated that they.
He can't speculate. They this became facts, man.
You speculate constantly, so
now I know why. You had to let him. You know, you chose me. I mean, this guy, he's.
I picked you because you said you would lock your child in a car for the show, and Joe said he wouldn't. That was what it boiled down to.
I don't even think the. Yeah, right.
So, cute clarifications. The actor who played Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane, his name was James Best, And he is still alive. He's 87 years old. Played Roscoe, Sheriff Roscoe, the Dukes of Hazzard, James Best, still with us. We couldn't remember his name, couldn't remember if he was dead. Still alive, name is James Best.
I don't know if you want to.
Oh, there are forks and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good.
We have a garbage right here. Here.
You mentioned the Bond film Never Say Never Again. Garbage.
Yeah, the Bond film.
You said it was an unlicensed Bond film. That's not technically correct. It was produced independently from Eon Productions, which released the majority of the Bond films. What happened is Kevin McClory, he was one of the screenwriters and producers of Thunderball. He had retained filming rights to the novel Thunderball after a long legal battle, and his production company put out Never Say Never Again, which was an adaptation of Thunderball, and I guess technically a remake of the film Thunderball.
Really?
Yes. I said that the beer company Anheuser-Busch owned Busch Gardens. That was true. It is no longer true. SeaWorld Entertainment, which operates Busch Gardens and SeaWorld, was sold from Anheuser-Busch to the Blackstone Group in 2009. That is no longer the case. It's time for facts. I'm going first this week. So here we go. Let me finish this bite of sandwich. Drink some root beer. Burping in the microphone. I'm not sure how to get into this one. I'm just going to say it. On November 22nd, 1987, a man in a Max headroom mask was able to hijack the broadcast signals of two separate broadcast stations in Chicago, Illinois, within the course of 3 hours.
Wow.
This is an incident known as the Max Headroom Broadcast Signal Intrusion. The first intrusion was on WGN-TV, their 9 o'clock news. It was an independent station, now a CW affiliate. It interrupted Chicago Bears highlights. It was a video, 30 seconds of a man in a Max Headroom mask in front of a moving sheet of corrugated metal, meant to mimic the Max Headroom background effect. There was no audio, just static. The engineers were able to stop the hijacking by switching the frequency of their studio link, at which point sportscaster Dan Rome remarked, "Well, if you're wondering what happened, so am I." The second hijacking was of a PBS affiliate, WTTW, at 11:15 p.m. during a Doctor Who episode. The same video, this time with distorted audio, ran for 90 seconds. The guy in the Max headroom mask mentioned Chicago Bulls play-by-play man Chuck Swirsky. He said the new Coke slogan and catch the wave while holding up a Pepsi can. Max headroom was the spokesperson for new Coke at the time.
Yeah.
Then he hummed the theme to the cartoon series Clutch Cargo. And at the end of the video, it cut to him bent over with his pants down, holding the Max headroom mask to his side. Being flagged, spanked with a fly swatter.
No!
And that's how the video ended. It is on YouTube, the whole thing.
God. What do you type in to find that?
Max Headroom Broadcast.
Okay.
This time, the engineers were unable to stop the hijacker. They tried the same stuff as before, switched the frequency, couldn't do it. The hijacker was never found. They still don't know who did it. And no one's ever claimed, because I guess they'd get in trouble if they claimed it. You can't just go hijacking a broadcast signal. But that thing is possible. This has happened a few times. This is the most notable incident, probably the weirdest.
Wow.
1987 in Chicago.
That's awesome. That's like those internet guys.
Those internet guys?
Oh, what are they called?
Hackers?
Yeah, they're like a young hacking group, and they'll do
stuff. Anonymous?
Yes.
Okay.
This is probably the beginnings of Anonymous.
I guess that was kind of a thing for a while, hacking into broadcast. I'm sure it's not easy to do. You always see supervillains do it on TV. Zod did it in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
He had alien technology, but I'm saying this kind of thing is possible.
See, their technology, all they have to do is type in, you know, two buttons. And
well, it's speculative. It's not real.
Frequencies
so.
Just take over.
Well, it's not real. There's not.
I know,
they're really Kryptonians, so.
Right.
Saying how the Kryptonians were able to hijack the signals in Man of Steel is, it didn't really happen. It was a film.
Just a movie.
Mm-hmm. What do you got for me, Mike? I'm excited.
All right. You enjoyed that cheese sandwich?
I did. It was pretty good.
Well.
I'm glad you dropped on the floor so I got a second one.
Yeah. I'm not.
You could have ate it.
I'm allergic to cats. And I'm thinking, what if a cat
wasn't rolling around over there?
Sure they are.
You held the cat up one day over my head and was patting it to get the dander to fall off on top of me.
I wanted you to see the kitty because the kitty is cute.
No, you were going all here and you were rubbing it.
I was rubbing his fat little belly because he has a fat little belly.
You were over my head. You were holding the cat dangling it over
me. I wanted you to see the fat little belly of the cat.
Like Michael Jackson was hanging his kid over a balcony.
I wanted you to see the kitty cat's fat little adorable bellies. And that was the best way to do it was to shove it in your face. And I don't know, and you're prescribing malicious intent to that, which I think is horseshit. That's not what I meant, and I would never do that. I know you're allergic to cats.
I knew I'm allergic.
I know you're allergic to cats. Doesn't mean you can't appreciate the cat from a distance of about 3 inches from your nose.
I never looked at it that way. Maybe you're just trying to help me.
See, thank you.
I'm always thinking you're trying to hurt me. And
well, that needs to change if you want to continue on the show, because I didn't sign that contract, if you remember.
I know. I'm just saying, I'm keeping it, and maybe you will one night when we're out drinking or something.
Okay. I can't imagine ever doing that. Not drinking with you, we've done that before, okay. But signing the contract.
Right, but hopefully, you know, we'll drink sometime.
Does it bother you reading any emails?
Does it bother?
Yeah, it makes me feel like no one's listening.
When we don't get any?
That we didn't get any. It's better to get none than to get one that doesn't contribute.
Before I do my fact, wait. I have an announcement to make after this fact, okay? Regarding emails.
Wait, just do it now. I don't like where this is going. Or does it have to come after the fact?
Yeah, because this fact is really relevant right now.
Okay.
Did you like that sandwich?
I did. I liked the grilled cheese sandwich. It had mozzarella sticks on it.
Grilled cheese sandwiches have been around for a long time.
Yeah, I'd imagine that's
this is the history of the grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, fascinating. You ever been to Melt?
What?
You ever been to Melt?
Including. Oh, yeah, all the
time. Melt's great. All right.
Which one's your favorite?
The Dude Abides is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I've had that one. Monte Cristo was pretty good. Well, anyways. Okay, a cheese sandwich is a basic sandwich made generally with one or more varieties of cheese. Duh. Okay. Cooked bread and cheese is an ancient food. According to food historians, popular across the world in many cultures, evidence indicates that in the U.S., the modern version of the grilled cheese sandwich originated in the 1920s.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because it was made with like inexpensive bread and American cheese, and it became, you know, popular in the Great Depression. It was originally made as an open sandwich, just, you know, piece of bread. Put a slice of cheese on there.
I don't understand open face sandwiches.
And then the top slice, they said, did not become popular until the 60s.
Wow. I wonder what made that happen.
A U.S. government cookbook describes Navy cooks broiling American cheese filling sandwiches during World War II. Many versions of the grilled cheese sandwich can now be found on restaurant menus across the U.S.
Yeah. The thing about grilled cheese is you can put anything on a sandwich, but I mean, you can put some meat and some cheese, or you can just put the cheese, but you're not going to, you know, or just the meat. It's not a sandwich options.
Yeah.
But open-faced sandwiches, yeah, both halves of the thing right there. Fold it, at least. Make it a real sandwich.
I don't like open-faced sandwiches at all, ever. You know, I think the most popular is probably like a steak, open-faced steak sandwich, say?
No, you gotta, just, if you got two pieces of bread, you got the shit, just make a sandwich. Don't waste my fucking time.
Don't waste the time. Some variations are like, this says bruschetta.
Okay.
But I don't see that, because really, all you're doing is getting tomatoes and sprinkling on Romano cheese, so I don't even know why they said that, but a cheese and pickle sandwich, cheese on toast.
How is cheese on toast any different than grilled cheese?
Right. Fried cheese, ham and cheese, a Limburger sandwich, panini, patty melt, quesadilla, Reuben sandwich, tuna melt.
I guess a quesadilla is kind of a grilled cheese.
Kind of.
Reuben, though, not a Reuben.
Some of the most, these couple ones.
A Reuben is in no way a grilled cheese.
No. That's so idiotic.
It's not even, I don't even put cheese on a Reuben.
Wait a minute.
I guess you could do a grilled cheese Reuben if you put corned beef and some sauerkraut and some grilled cheese.
What kind of cheese? Swiss?
It would have to be Swiss, yeah.
I can't think of any other cheese I would want on a Reuben without it being weird. I mean, cheese goes...
I guess I do put Swiss on a Reuben. Cheese is Why am good. I thinking I don't put cheese on a Reuben? There's Swiss cheese on a Reuben.
No.
There's not? No, there isn't. That's my favorite sandwich. I should know this.
No. The ones I know of, it's just corned beef,
the cabbage or sauerkraut, whatever. Yeah. And then
Thousand Island.
Thousand Island. That's all that I know.
You could throw some Swiss on there.
You could, but it's not like a staple of the sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't think. No. No.
I've had Swiss out of Reuben, though. I feel like
I've had them.
Yeah. How good is a Reuben?
They're great. Ugh. And it's St. Patrick's Day today.
Right? Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
Oh. Well, people are really celebrating.
Maybe it's Monday.
Shit. Yeah, I think it's Monday.
One of those books had to be back to the library.
It's the 16th.
Yeah. It's St. Patrick's Day is the 17th, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Why don't I know that?
Why, you got library books?
Yeah, they're due back tomorrow.
Have you ever heard of a
Welsh? So I'm worried about that, but
a Welsh rabbit?
Welsh rarebit. It's not actually rabbit, right?
You're right. Rarebit or Welsh rabbit.
Yeah, but it's not actually rabbit.
It's a dish made with a savory sauce of melted cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Another ingredient served hot. They pour it over slices of toast. It's like a hot, cheesy sauce. The names of the dish originate from 18th century Great Britain. So that's kind of like a version.
St. Patrick's Day is on March 17th.
Okay. That's kind of a version of a grilled
cheese. I guess any sandwich that is grilled and has cheese where it can be considered. Like the stuff and melt.
This thing.
They got all kinds of shit on that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just cheese.
You ever? I just built my own one time.
Oh, you can do that? I didn't know that was an option.
You can build your own. Yep. It's pretty awesome.
I haven't been there in about a year. I got to get back.
Stuff, man. I did like jalapenos. I did the stuffed jalapeno poppers. I put them on there.
That sounds delicious.
It was awesome. But, also, something called a croquet monsieur. That must be French.
Yeah. I think it's monsieur.
No, it's pronounced monsieur.
Monsieur, okay. Yeah.
Served with a I took French for 1 year. Served with a fried egg.
Well, I took Spanish for 3. I don't know Spanish.
Well, I took Latin. I
took Latin for 2. I don't know
Me Latin. Too. I took Latin for 2. Touché.
That's French.
Oui, oui.
Also French.
It's the croquet monsieur is served with a fried egg or poached egg on top.
Well, that sounds delicious.
You gotta see it. It looks like an open face sandwich.
Well, I don't like open face sandwiches.
So I looked it up because I wanted to see pictures. But also,
I've had bad experiences with egg on a sandwich. I was at Eaton Park with my
bit into it and all the fucking juice.
It shot down my sleeve. Hot egg shot down my sleeve.
Wow.
The sleeve of my flannel shirt.
Then you gotta wash.
I had to get up immediately, and I had to wash my entire arm up. Egg yolk.
Yeah, because it's gonna be stinking gross.
Yeah,
it's all
gooey. It was terrifying.
Getting crusty.
Oh, and then they were both laughing at me. My dad and my girlfriend just pointing and laughing, like it was my fucking fault. God forbid I want to bite into the sandwich I was just served.
I hate when you make a mistake while you're eating. People laugh at you, don't you?
Yeah, it's ignorant. Are you done?
Makes you feel like a dirty worm.
It does. Are you done yet?
No, because...
Okay.
I got, I was studying the grilled cheese sandwich. And then I ran across Limburger. It said Limburger cheese.
I never had Limburger cheese.
Neither have I.
But I'm sure I'd like it. It smells bad, right?
It says Limburger is a cheese that originated during the 19th century in the historical Duchy of Limburg, which is now divided amongst modern-day Belgium, Germany, and Netherlands. But the cheese is especially known for its pungent odor, commonly compared to body odor. In the first month, when they make it or whatever, the cheese is firmer and more crumbly, similar to the texture of feta cheese.
I love feta cheese.
Me too. After about 6 weeks, the cheese becomes softer along the edges, but it's still firm on the inside and can be described as salty and chalky. After 2 months of its life, it is mostly creamy and smooth. Once it's 3 months, the cheese produces its notorious smell because of the bacteria used to ferment Limburger cheese and many other smear-ripened cheeses. The same one found on human skin that is responsible for body odor, particularly foot odor.
Well, that's interesting.
The same kind of bacteria.
Huh. I've always wanted to try Limburger cheese. It can't smell that bad and not be delicious. Those people wouldn't put up with that shit.
It says the most traditional form of eating it is on a Limburger sandwich. And that's when it ripens and becomes spreadable. Then they put it on nice and thick over rye bread with usually a large, thick slice of onion.
Yeesh.
And it's usually served with strong black coffee or a beer.
I'll have mine without the onion. But that sounds delicious. I'm sure there's somewhere around here we can pick that up.
Dude, imagine, maybe we should try Limburger and onion sandwich.
I'm not keen on the onions, man.
That's how they serve it, Nanny.
I guess that's how they do it. They know what they're doing. I mean, they make the sandwich.
And the funny thing is, you know,
it's thick slice of onions.
Watching Little Rascals and Three Stooges, they were always like, remember, like, oh, the smell of Limburger, yuck, ew.
Yeah, that's why I know it.
Eat it, and that's how I know it from.
Like Looney Tunes would say, you know,
in Limburger,
always referencing. Else, I wouldn't even know what the cheese was.
But you're gonna eat Limburger, smell like feet, and then you're adding onion to it, which really makes you smell.
It already smells like feet.
That's got to be some repugnant ass shit.
That's got to be good cheese, though, man. If it smells like feet and people still eat it.
Gotta try it. But what I want to talk about real fast with emails.
All right.
People, you're going to want to email us. What do you think of this, Eric? I'll give you, you make the call. We're going to be getting floods of emails here soon.
I don't think we got none this week.
You want to do a whole episode maybe on listener facts? Because they will email facts, because if you email us a fact here on Facts, and it's interesting, we have to prove it to be interesting, true. Well, you know what? Just give us a nice email of a fact. We will send you out a Facts podcast sticker.
That sounds great.
An officially licensed podcast sticker, and we'll even sign the back of it.
Yeah, yeah, that was your... Yeah, Mike's getting stickers made.
I'm getting stickers made, and it's for you, the listeners. We appreciate you. Thank you. And here's another thing. What you have to do is help spread the word of Facts. That's all. That's all I ask. Just help spread the word. Share page. Maybe throw us a shout-out sometimes on your Facebook or something. Get the word out and email us at...
FactsPodcastCorrections@gmail.com. Yeah, that's for corrections. I mean, I guess it's a good thing we didn't get emails, because that means we obviously had corrections.
There you go. It looks like we're both moving in different directions. Now you're looking at the positive side of something.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't waste our time in the email.
Waste our time.
Is better than time wasting. Either have a fact or have a correction. Just one of those things.
Eric, I've also learned the importance of time. I have.
Of time?
Yeah, and how time is important. And you have to be productive with your time.
Yeah.
So don't waste our time. If you waste our time, we're not going to read your email.
Thank you. Don't waste my fucking time.
No, Eric was right about that stuff before. And I said, oh, read it anyways. No. If it's not relevant and it don't make sense, can't read it.
There's nothing I enjoy more than not reading an email.
So, Kronos, I'm telling you, if you write in, make some sense, send us a fact.
Oh, he's done. That guy's done. He's
Master
not writing
Master Cheddar,
in
if you want to write in, make some sense.
The other thing about the emails, no nicknames.
No nicknames.
It could be an alias. I don't care if it's a fake name.
But honestly,
it has to sound like a real name.
It's the real name.
If you can prove to me your real name is Master Cheddar or the Kronos Master, then I'll read the email. But I'm not, unless I see a birth certificate or a driver's license, I'm not going to read it. This is old. This is stuff we've been through. We're looking to the future of the podcast.
But here's the thing. I want you to email us and email where I can send you the sticker, too.
I won't your read address. Your personal information.
No, we're not
going to
read
Don't
your
worry.
Personal address. That's just for shipping purposes.
Yes.
And
he's at the post office anyway. It's not going to take him any extra time.
I'm going to ship it. I'm going to pay for it. Okay? I'm going to ship it out to you. So don't worry. I'm going to drop
it
off on my way to work.
He's already at the post
office. I'm already there.
It's already there.
So shoot us a fact, and we'll shoot you a sticker.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Have you ever heard of the Boston Molasses Flood, Mike?
No.
You've never heard of this at all?
No, I really haven't.
I've heard of it before. The reason I looked more into it is a comic named Garrett Elzinga did a big bit about it that was very funny about the Boston Molasses Flood. And it kind of re-piqued my interest. I've always heard that it was something that happened. And I wanted to know more of the details. What happened? This occurred on January 15th, 1919. In the North End neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts. A molasses storage tank at the Purity Distilling Company burst. The tank was 50 feet high, it was 90 feet in diameter, and at capacity it contained as much as 2.3 million gallons of molasses. Molasses was the primary sweetener in the U.S. at the time, but this molasses was being fermented to make rum. That was another purpose of molasses.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
At 12:30 p.m. on January 15, 1919, the tank burst. releasing a wave of molasses 20 feet high at its peak, traveling at 35 miles per hour. The molasses flooded the streets. It damaged the girders of the nearby Boston Elevated Railway. Several buildings were swept off their foundations and crushed.
Oh my God.
Several blocks were flooded with a depth of 2 to 3 feet of molasses. The following is a quote from the Boston Post. Molasses, waist deep, covered the street and swirled and bubbled about the wreckage. Here and there struggled a form. Whether it was animal or human being was impossible to tell. Only an upheaval, a thrashing about in the sticky mass, showed where any life was. Horses died like so many flies on sticky flypaper. The more they struggled, the deeper in the mess they were ensnared. Human beings, men and women, suffered likewise. 150 people were injured, 21 people were killed. The rescuers found it difficult to make their way through the molasses to reach victims. Some of the dead were so glazed over with molasses they were unrecognizable. A class action lawsuit, the first one filed in Massachusetts, was brought against the United States Industrial Alcohol Company, the owners of Purity Distilling. They tried to claim that the tank was blown up by anarchists. That was not the case. They were instructed. They were found liable and had to pay out $600,000 in settlements, which is the equivalent to $10.7 million today. Took 2 weeks, 300 people, and over 87,000 man-hours to clean up the molasses. They had to spray it with salt water and wash it into the harbor. And the harbor was brown with molasses until spring. The tank was not rebuilt. The site became a yard for the Boston Elevated Railway, and is now it is the location of a city-owned baseball field. The causes were thus. The tank was poorly constructed. The fermentation within the tank caused a buildup of carbon dioxide, increasing the internal pressure. In addition, the temperature had risen in the previous day from 2 degrees to 41 degrees Fahrenheit. It was unseasonably warm. That contributed to the pressure buildup as well. The tank was also overfilled. The Purity Distilling Company was trying to outrace prohibition. In fact, the 18th Amendment was ratified the next day. So they were pumping out as much molasses as they could before that prohibition kicked in. An inquiry determined that Arthur Gell, the man who oversaw construction, neglected basic safety tests, such as filling the tank with water to check for leaks. The tank, in fact, leaked so much that locals would collect the leaking molasses in jars to take home. They responded to this by painting the tank brown so the leaks would be less noticeable. So poorly constructed, too much pressure built up, overfilled, just negligence all around. As far as I can tell, Arthur Gell didn't suffer any repercussions for this.
How did 21 people die, though? That's people, so hardcore.
It's a flood of 30... If someone says slow as molasses, molasses can reach up to 35 miles per hour, apparently, if it explodes. I mean, that's like a tar pit.
How
that's,
big was this tank? I don't get it. I don't get, like, the amount...
50 feet high, 90 feet diameters, 2.3 million gallons of molasses.
50 feet high... And 50, how wide?
50 by 90.
50 by 90. Whoa.
A cylinder.
Oh, my God.
50 feet high, 90 feet in diameter. 2.3 wow. million gallons of molasses.
Okay.
Just exploded. Like a wave of molasses through the street. Because you get stuck in a big pile of molasses, you can't get out. It's sticky.
You know, the Magnum is what, 200 feet?
The roller coaster?
Yeah.
I think.
So if you think a half of that, it's like 90 almost. That's pretty freaking high.
That's a lot of molasses.
That's wide. And 50 feet high is really high. I've been up 30 before, and I was scared shitless.
It's a considerable amount of molasses.
All right. Yeah, because I'm like, what? And I'm thinking of those water tanks. You know, I'm like, that ain't going to flood that bad.
No, it's bigger than that.
21 people. And then, like, they just... They're unrecognizable, like they're like dipped like a donut.
Yeah, in molasses. Over. Oh. It's horrifying. It's kind of funny when it, you hear. It's
funny, but so
at hardcore. First,
it's like a duck that got in the oil spill. That
yeah, you see. It's the I'm same thing, of. But with human beings, just trapped in molasses.
So fucked up.
The site is currently Langon Park. It is a baseball field, playground, and bocce courts. That's the site of the distillery. The actual tank is a baseball field now. Mm. There is a plaque commemorating the event. So that is the Baltimore molasses flood in detail. What else you got, Mike?
Okay. Just sign this real quick. I'll do my next fact.
Is that Is that the same piece of paper?
It's different.
It's the same piece of paper.
Okay.
No, I'm not gonna sign. In fact, I'm gonna throw it away. It's gonna be easier if I throw it away, so then we don't.
I guess you can throw it here. I guess you could throw it away.
Yeah, I threw it away.
I can always reprint it, and you can.
Yeah, I assume you will, but that each one I will throw away. So it's not really worth it for you to reprint this because
Russia Ukraine stuff got me kind of.
Yeah. Because, it's a serious situation going on in the Ukraine. I believe Crimea, I just read, is holding a vote to see whether they succeed from Ukraine back to Russia.
You know, I'm Italian.
Something I'm aware of that. You mentioned it before. You
also didn't know? Ukrainian.
Ukrainian? Well, that's interesting. So this hits home for you.
Yeah, I'm Ukrainian.
Ukrainian ancestry.
Yeah, Slovak Ukrainian. And,
Are you going to discuss the Ukrainian situation in more detail? Because I'm kind of curious. I haven't really.
No, I was thinking.
Okay, so this is unrelated to what you're going to say.
It is.
Okay. Well, why did,
what if the. This is just a scenario.
Okay, I don't know why you brought up Ukraine, though, if that's not what your facts are.
It is, because. Okay. I'll tell you why. What if Russia just completely takes over the world? Well, maybe it would be. Or one of us becomes a Russian spy. I think something that would be helpful for us to know is Russian customs.
Okay.
So
that was a weird way of getting into it.
It
but,
is.
But it sounds like a good
fact. Also, I'm thinking of what if I'm a spy? Because I do technically, I work for the government, I guess you could say. Maybe
the
they'll see something.
The U.S. Post Office is the government, yes.
Maybe they'll see something in me they like to be a spy.
I don't know how much they recruit spies from the post office, but sure, that's fantasy you can entertain yourself with.
We don't know, because the guy from the Gong Show was a spy.
I think he made that up. I'm pretty sure Chuck Barris made all that stuff up for his autobiography.
But it was on facts. Shane talked about it. And it was never corrected, so it must
be
a fact.
I don't think he said that about Chuck Barris.
He did.
I'll have to listen to that episode again and correct it, but
No, you don't have to. I'm just saying.
I don't think that happened. I do remember him mentioning Chuck Barris, but I don't think it was in that.
Maybe he didn't.
Okay, yeah. Maybe you're talking shit.
I could.
Though it did lead to the movie Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Written by Charlie Kaufman, directed by George Clooney, which was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Yeah. So, Russia and
Ukraine. I believe George Clooney's directorial debut,
That's a good one to debut on. Russia and Ukraine have a lot of similar customs.
Hmm.
So, this is kind of like, for Russian and Ukrainian.
Okay.
Because it's really the same.
There's an intermixed history there.
Whatever. I'm trying to think of similar types of people. But
Greeks and Italians are pretty much the same thing.
No.
That was explained to me. An old Greek woman said that to me.
Yeah, she's full of crap.
I don't...
I'll tell you what.
Clooney's middle name is Timothy.
The one thing they have, they both love olive oil. However, you know how Italians are crazy about garlic?
Yeah.
Greeks are like that, but with lemon.
Okay.
They use lemon with everything.
So there's different... There's not... Just the Russian customs.
Also, they have much kinkier hair than Italians. Okay, we will go
Russian
customs. Not that's a bad thing. Could be good. I don't know. But for drinking. Okay. Food and drink is very important part of Russian hospitality. They like to drink. We'll just say that. When socializing
confirmed
around the table,
Confessions
with
of a Dangerous Mind was indeed the directorial debut of George Clooney.
Bingo.
Sorry, continue.
There is always some sort of snack food. I can't pronounce it. Zakuski, which are they're used as a chaser, basically. The vodka and the toast when they go, what do they say?
I don't know what they say. You're doing the fact. When Russians toast vodka?
Yeah, they have a word to go.
It's not written down on the 14 sheets of paper printed up?
No, that was something else. What do they say?
It's not. Just move on.
Stolichna. They say something and they do the shot. But it's very important, like in their culture. And a problem for foreigners is that... the Russians drink for camaraderie and stuff like that.
And because it's cold.
And in the West, we drink more at our own pace. But to them, you're supposed to, keep up with each other or something. It's a part of our culture.
They drink, man.
And they say, if you drink, here's a few drinks that the Russians swear by. It's like they're
Now, why do they drink so much? Do you know?
Vodka?
Yeah. Why? Why? Yeah. What's it about Russian culture where they just drink, drink, drink?
A lot of problems, okay. I guess. You know, when you got problems, you ain't got no money.
Yeah, I mean, they're poor. It's cold. It's
like, man, what else am I?
That's enough of a reason.
It's shitty out. Let's just stay in.
Man, yeah.
I got a shitty job, shitty life. I got to drink, man. Forget who I am. Forget my problems. Go. Let's go to La La Land. Here's a few drink that the Russians swear by. First, don't drink down in order. That is, if you start with beer, go up to wine, then to vodka.
Yeah.
But never go the other way.
Well, don't they say beer before liquor? Never been sicker?
Yeah, but they say you start with beer, go to wine, then vodka. You never go back. Like, after you start drinking the vodka, don't go back and drink wine or beer. Don't regress.
Yeah.
The higher up you go, you stay.
Well, I tell you what, every time I've ever mixed a lot...
It's like leveling up. You can't level down.
Every time I've really... Well, you can level down if, you know, you suffer XP penalties or you're... If you're, you're resurrected, you go down. Yeah, a couple levels. I'm talking about Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
But it takes a while to build back up again.
Yeah, it does. It does. Whenever I mix alcohol, I usually black out or vomit, so... I try to stick with just beer.
And they say second, which we do this too. If a hangover is unavoidable, you can always use a trick of the Russians. You drink a beer or a small amount of alcohol the next morning to kill the hangover.
Mm.
It is called apokalypsisna. It's common practice. And it's a verb that just for the sect. We call it hair of the dog.
Yeah, that's an idiom.
So, you know, right. If you're invited into a Russian home, you always want to bring a gift for your host, which is a box of chocolates, a cake, beer, or a bottle of wine.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. And,
I invited you into my home and you brought me Denny's.
Always. Courtship and gender roles, though, in the Russian and Ukraine are very traditional. Men should always be strong and assertive, while women should always be smart and beautiful. Russian women tend to dress very more feminine always, and men still adhere to traditional male etiquette. Here's some tips for men who are visiting Russia. Remember this stuff if you're trying to get with a Russian girl. Okay, it says bring flowers or a gift for your date. Make sure to buy an odd number of flowers.
Why is that?
Even number is only used in funerals.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yes.
So you wouldn't get her a dozen roses, you'd get her 13 or 11.
Baker's dozen.
Probably 13, because if you got her 11, she'd be like, where the fuck are my other two roses?
Well, I could say, well, I gave one to my mom, because I love my mom, and girls always love to hear that.
Do they?
They do.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I've seen some beautiful Russian women.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean... I've also seen some ugly as fuck Russian women, so I'm sure it's...
Oh, yeah.
Just like any other women anywhere.
Always offer your hand in assistance when a lady is entering or exiting a vehicle.
These are specifically Russian customs? This just seems like general...
That sounds pretty general. They're all kind of general here. Always open a door, blah, blah, blah.
How many pages do you have?
Assist a lady when taking her help. If she lights a smoke... if she smokes, light her cigarette.
See, these are all just like... Stuff I've seen Don Draper do. It's not... Nothing seems particularly Russian about...
Yeah. And then it says, finally, it is custom that the man always pays for the date.
Yeah, no shit. That's not Russian. That's just like... That's just dating etiquette.
Always offer to carry heavy bags.
Yeah, this is just something dudes do. There's nothing to do with Russia.
In a restaurant, assist the lady with her chair. Pour her drink and make sure she is served before you start your meal.
This doesn't seem... Well, find something Russian in this.
Okay, and then this is very interesting. Final conclusion to the Russian traditions,
okay.
Rules and regulations. They do not respect the law from when they're kids. They're taught...
I'm sorry, hold on.
Yeah, most Russians and Ukrainians, rules are meant to be broken. At an early age, school children develop innovative means to pass exams by using notes and when...
using notes when notes are prohibited, cooperating with classmates with when teachers exit the room. While such forms of cheating are frowned upon in the West, rule breakers in Russian schools are largely ignored.
Well, that's
they just turn the cheek to this stuff.
That's odd, because Russia is such an authoritative society.
Yeah, I think they want them to get, like, they're training them to kind of become cunning and smart. But really, you're not learning anything along the way. You're just learning how to be a sneak and a scumbag.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that seems more like you're still passing the test.
I want the true. You're going to pass by being a sneaky little...
Yeah, but you got notes there, so you're still... That's still the information coming at you. You know, you're collaborating with other students. That's still... I feel like there's still learning going on in that scenario. And children should be told to question authority.
See, maybe they should just have one class on that. Like, teaching you how to be sneaky, but not always. Because you got to learn.
But if
they're missing out.
We teach them how to be sneaky, they're going to be sneaky. This seems like a KGB training thing, really.
It does. In business, black market and bribes, which
the black market's huge in Russia, and still
they are still a key component of commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Rules are meant to be bent and circumvented, right from the wealthiest Russian oligarchs who made fortunes in fraudulent loans for shares auctions early in the 1990s, to the little businessman who avoids expensive state fees via less expensive gifts. This is, without a doubt, the biggest barrier to foreign business in Russia.
Yeah, I've heard about the bribery thing. It's like, when you're doing business with Russia, you gotta kind of calculate the cost of the bribe in there. It's still a very corrupt political situation, even after the fall of communism.
And they really, their street lights and speed limits, they really don't enforce them at all, whatsoever. Which I heard most of Europe...
A lot of Europe does that. They don't really...
Just a lot of people actually get hurt when they travel over to Russia.
I've heard from people who've driven on the Autobahn, which is in Germany. It's not Russia, but it's the same kind of, where there's no speed limit, that you gotta be ready for that exit, like three exits back. Else you're not going to get it.
That's so crazy, man.
We should have one of those in America, just a fucking highway. Just see what happens.
Did you notice how they upped it up to like 70?
Yeah, it's 70 now, which means I go like 85. I drive fast.
Yeah. Gotta be careful, though. Speed.
I'm aware. Yeah, no, I got a lot of speeding tickets in the past. I actually should have had my license revoked.
Yeah.
Because I got 12 points in 2 years.
Yeah.
But they were all over the state. I think I just got lost in the bureaucracy. Because I had like two in Youngstown, one in Cleveland, a couple down by Dayton, one in like the Columbus
that
area.
That happened to me when I was young.
And everything just sort of, they never got it together.
I was 22 and I had 12 points. I slipped through somehow.
Yeah. So, I guess drive fast as fuck is what we're saying. I have one more quick fact, and then we'll wrap it up. You like A1 on your steak? Enjoy A1 steak sauce?
To be honest, yes.
Yes, of course. It's delicious.
Yeah.
A little quick fact.
To admit I put stuff on my meat, but I do.
If it depends on the steak. If it's a good steak, it's well marinated, has nice flavor to it, then I don't need any steak sauce.
It's a little done and stuff.
If it's a cheap steak, like, you know, a chop steak... You know,
if it's
the next day I'm reheating it, is maybe it's lost a little moisture, then I'll put some A1 on it. I like getting steak and eggs at the Waffle House and just smothering that shit with A1. Because that's not a good, you know, if it's a low quality steak.
Too. If you make burgers, make them A1.
It's good on burgers too. Usually when I go to Five Guys, I get some A1 on the burger.
Oh, yeah.
A1 was created in 1824 by Henderson William Brand, personal chef to King George IV of the United Kingdom. King George IV tasted the sauce and said, "That is A1. And that's how it got its name. A1 went into production in 1831 and continued to be produced in London by Brand and Company until the late 1950s. A1 was first introduced to the United States market in 1895. The ingredients of A1 are tomatoes, raisin paste, distilled vinegar, corn syrup, salt, crushed orange puree, dried garlic and onions, tamarind herbs and spices, caramel color, and xanthan gum. Xanthan gum is a thickening agent.
Oh!
See, that was quick. That's a good...
I always wonder what that was.
Yes. It just makes it thicker. Xanthan gum.
Huh.
See, that's a nice quick fact at the end. Bam, that took like 30 seconds. We squeezed another fact in.
I'll do one that's maybe faster.
Okay.
Do you know we are sitting on top of a glacier?
What? No, there used to be glaciers in the area.
Listen, I deliver mail to this trailer park in Howland.
That's true that he delivers mail to the trailer park. What are you going to say
and
next?
This guy came up to me And he said, hey, I just moved to the area. Can I have my mail? I said, well, no, you could get it when I'm done. Make a long story short, we start talking. And he got his mail, and he says, you know, I just moved back to the area because I'm a prospector in Colorado. And I said, really? And he goes, you know, you're sitting on a gold mine right here. And he said, I've been a survivalist. And he's, I don't know how old he is. He looks pretty old, like 60s, but maybe he's in his 40s and just beat down from life. And he said he was living out in San Francisco for a while and living out in Colorado, and he was a prospector. And I said, really? And he goes, I could teach you how to
prospect. Is he 150 years old?
I don't know how old this dude is. He's old. I said, boy, that stuff, they still do that? And he goes, panhandling is huge. He said,
he meant literally panhandling.
He said, yeah.
Like a prospector would.
He said, this is how I retired. And I said, really? He goes, oh, yeah, all my money is from mostly my secret gold mine. So this man has a secret gold mine. And I said, oh, wow, how much? And he goes, well, I don't want to clean it out. He goes, when I need money, I'll just fly back to Colorado and kind of get some. And I go, oh, kind of like a bank. Like, you know, I need more money, so I'll go get some gold. And he goes, yeah. But, and he said this area was like a long time ago, the glaciers from Canada, that they broke apart and were actually sitting on it or something. There's diamonds and rubies and titanium that were actually sitting on in gold. And he said he actually found some.
Stop it.
He told me this. It's
your fact is, hey, I met a crazy guy delivering the mail.
And then I told him, like, he asked if, he goes, hey, you get a lot of advertisements that you don't use. And I said, oh, sure, you know, from vacants and stuff like that. And he goes, can I have them? He goes, just put them in my box. I said, no, I can't do that. And I figured, this guy, you know, he's telling me crazy stuff. Maybe I'll tell him something. I said, I can't do that because the government tracks every single piece of mail. And, you know, if I give, which it's kind of true, if I was caught giving him that, I'll go to jail. I'll get fined. You don't do that. And I kind of told him, you know.
Was this going to be your third fact?
I'm breaking the law.
Was this planned on being your third fact?
No. And it's just a quick little thing.
It's not quick. It's been 3 minutes.
And then
it's been 3 minutes.
All right. This is where it gets funny, though.
It's neither quick nor fact. You lied twice. And then he told me what you were going to do.
And then he told me, I understand because I used to work for the government, too. And he said, that's how I had access to this gold mine. They fly me into the gold mine sometimes because I share it with the government. So, you know, I just thought it was an interesting story to tell you that I met a real-life panhandler.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll meet some crazy people delivering them out.
And I put them in this collection box, like in the front of the trailer park, and then I have to drive way in the back, like a mile away. He came running, followed my truck, and talked to me while I did the other collection box, too. And I didn't talk to him that time. I just kind of nodded my head while I filled the collection box, and I left, because I'm like, this dude, he's going to be like a dog or a kid every time I come here now. He's going to want to talk to me.
So that's 4 minutes now. Your quick fact was a rambling 4-minute story about a crazy man you met.
No, the fact was, I was just going to say we're sitting on a...
That's not true, though. A crazy guy told you that. Like, a man who was obviously crazy told you that. You know...
Well, the fact is,
you know, we're not sitting on a glacier, because glaciers...
Like, they move...
They're not underground.
Right. It didn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. You shouldn't have wasted our time with that. You said earlier about wasting time. You just wasted it's 4.5 minutes now. The show could have been done by now.
It was just an interesting story. That's all I just wanted to share with you. I'm sorry.
If you heard anything incorrect, Facts Podcast Corrections. I thought
he might be an interesting guy to maybe bring on Facts someday and talk to.
No, I already have one crazy person who talks bullshit on Facts. I don't need two.
A real life panhandler? Wouldn't you like to meet him? And
no, I don't want. Never want to meet this guy or hear about him again.
His experiences?
He doesn't have any. None of these things happened to him. He's a liar.
I don't know.
If he is retired because he has a gold mine that he shares with the government, why does he live in a trailer park in Warren, Ohio?
Oh, he said he lives there because he flew in from Colorado to help out his daughter and granddaughter.
FactsPodcastCorrections@gmail.com. That's the email. Either send in a fact or a correction. You know what's going to happen now? People are going to be sending in horseshit because they want one of these stickers.
Well, I hope it's not horse crap.
Yeah, not just anyone's getting a sticker. Contribute.
Yeah, just say something nice.
I have some stuff to plug. I was just at the Funny Farm this weekend.
I was there. He killed it. It was great. It was funny.
Yeah, so the Saturday show's went well. The Friday show, not so much. But it was a good weekend. It was fun. I got paid for it. It was all well and good. March 24th, I'm going to be in Lakewood at, I think that's an 8 o'clock show. It's at a bar called Barrio. The show's called Hilario at Barrio. Bill Squire is running that. That'll be Monday the 24th in Lakewood. 27th, 28th, and 29th, that's a Thursday through Saturday, I will be at the new club opening in Toledo, just opened this weekend, called Laughs, Inc. I will be hosting there. There's five shows, one on Thursday, two on Friday and Saturday. Headliner's Ryan Stout. He's been on Conan and Letterman and such. I'm not sure if he's been on Letterman. He's been on Conan. He's around. He was on Comedy Central. He's a name guy.
Wow.
That's the headliner. I'm hosting for that. That's in Toledo. New club there called Laughs, Inc. And on April 8th, I will be at the Redstone in Cleveland for the showcase they do there. It's at 9 o'clock, Redstone. That's the Chuckle Fuck show. Mm. And then on April 3rd, they're doing a contest at the Funny Farm now.
Really?
I just announced that last night. I will be at that.
Really?
I don't know what time that is.
When's that start?
April 3rd is the first week.
I'm entering.
It's pretty much the same format as the contest we do with Shakers every summer. Jesse Huber's running it. At the end, the guy gets $250 and gets a paid gig at the Funny Farm. So that's going on. That's what I have coming up. What do you got coming up, Mike?
LaughTrackShow.com, FaxPodcast.com, and I'm currently securing a date for Weirdos Comedy 2, Revenge of the Weirdos.
Nice! Looking forward to that.
Yes.
That was a good show. Can't wait to do it again. I guess I should plug Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's my other podcast. You can find that at ericanddave.com. FaxPodcast.com, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. We're both on Twitter. Mike's private because he's a little bitch. And that's the show. Take it away, Mike.
Sometimes make mistakes. Can't look back. The only thing you could do is not make the same mistake twice. If you make a mistake once, shame on you. But if you make the same mistake twice, shame on me. So, don't make the same mistake. You gotta better yourself, okay? If you do something wrong, do something to correct it. Fix it. Get better, wiser, smarter. If you're gonna feel better, you're going to feel light as a feather and smart as a whip. Smart as a cheetah. So, I'm really excited to be back with Eric on Facts. And the number one thing I want you to do is use your brain.